This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
Welcome in another edition of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. We're live at the D on social media at VSiN Live, as well as live on our YouTube page, youtube.com/VSiN Live. And as always, wherever you get your podcasts, always great to be joined by Matt Eumanns and Wes Reynolds as we get you ready for a showdown of Midwestern squads. Wes Reynolds, crack that smile, baby. No SEC schools. It's Notre Dame. It's Ohio State. And you know what? For your alma mater, for all the crap that they got, and as Matt has mentioned a couple of times on the air, the two teams you lost to are playing each other for a national championship.
Small consolation from the beatdown, though, that I witnessed up there at Notre Dame Stadium in South Bend. But anywho, yeah, look, I'm glad that we don't have an SEC team. It's just breaking my heart that we don't have a team from the Southeastern Conference in a national championship. Somehow I think the ratings are going to be just okay,
be okay,
Tim.
Yeah.
I think they're going to be fine with two blue bloods here with Ohio State and Notre Dame.
I'm probably not going to watch the game Monday night. I'm probably going to watch Curb Street produce some dog videos.
Is he doing the puppy bowl on Animal Planet during the game? No, he will be calling the game.
You know what? Tim Murray and I will be calling the game as well.
We will.
On VSiN Primetime Monday night from 4 to 8. We're going to be doing a live betting show, and Tim Murray is going to be a ball of nerves. You tune in just to watch Tim Murray be a basket case on VSiN Monday night.
You know what? You know what? This is a betting show here. We're going to get into all the betting angles. But I was talking to my neighbor today, and I was like, you know, I'm in a good mood. You know, they won the Orange Bowl. I was there to witness that hell of a game. They won the Sugar Bowl, first two major bowl wins in over three decades. You beat the SEC champ. You beat Penn State. I don't know, man. Kind of playing with house money here. But it would be nice on air on Monday night. By the way, back on SiriusXM, channel 158, starting on Friday, so you can listen to me and Matt as you're driving around. I will be far more entertaining than a radio broadcast, but no, I'm looking forward to it.
I think we'll have Wes Reynolds on the show as a guest Monday night. You know what? You don't get many chances like this, though, Tim, and when you do, you want to take advantage of it. 1988, the last time Notre Dame won a national championship, so it's been a long time, and I think the Irish got a shot Monday night.
Well, let's dive into the game right now. Point spread sitting at 8, total 46. We've seen some Notre Dame money come into the market. This thing got as high, or opened, I believe, at some shops, 10.5. I was talking to Mike Palm earlier today, and he said Circa opened 10, quickly got scooped up. I was talking to another odds maker in Las Vegas, Wes, 9.5. A very respected bet came into a shop here in town, banging that down. There's still an 8.5 out there at DraftKings. Curious what your numbers say, Wes, here on this particular spot. It does feel a little bit like it'll be two-way action. I don't know if there's going to be one massive side or another. We'll see how Monday develops, but it does feel like there's a lot of differing opinions out there on this game from at least a side standpoint.
Yeah, I made it 7.5 personally, so I wish I would have got the 10. That got scooped up really, really quickly because, look, two really elite defenses here, I think, between these two teams. And Notre Dame, look, there's something to be said for resiliency. And they've been absolutely resilient in this postseason, especially against Penn State in the Orange Bowl, where you were in attendance down there in Miami Gardens. And look, everything could have fell apart for them. They were down 10-3. They had nothing going. And then that first drive right out of the gate, they just run the ball right at Penn State and get the and score. And you kind of knew that they were the better team in the second half in that game. And I think Notre Dame, they're going to have to do the same here because, as we saw with Texas, running on the perimeter against Ohio State is not very easy to do, especially not at the one-yard line when you run a toss sweep on second and goal from the one. Steve Sarkisian will be living that play call down for many, many years, and I'll have a losing bet to show for it.
Yeah, he can go to the bar and have a couple shots and drown his sorrows. You know what? That's 2 years in a row that Sark has screwed up the play calling in a college football playoff semifinal. Last year against Washington, remember a couple of the dud play calls he had when Quinn Ewers drove the offense down into the red zone. So, you know, I had a lot of money riding on the Buckeyes last week. Talked about it a lot. And I was sweating bullets at the end of that game because it looked like it was probably going to go to overtime. Or Wes, if you're Sark, you got the ball at the two-yard line and first down. How do you not put Arch Manning in the game and run the guy three times or whatever it takes and run some clock as well. It just, Brain dead strategy there by the Texas coach.
That's the thing. You got to run, I think, right at Ohio State.
Yeah. Like
you got to run inside zone.
You don't run wide.
No, not at all. Because, and I think if Notre Dame tries that they're not going to have a lot of success doing so. So a lot of Riley Leonard running, I think, and that's what you're going to have to do and just go right in the middle of the field.
Yeah. Tim, I will mention that according to the odds screen, Circa opened on January 10th, opened this 10.5.
Oh, they did get 10.5. Okay.
It was 10.5 for 2 minutes and 3 seconds. And it moved to 10, and it was at 10 for 10 minutes and moved to 9.5. So it didn't take long. Like Wes, I made this number right between 7 and 7.5, and I would have opened at 7.5 anticipating Ohio State action. But I think the number is a little bit high, and I grabbed 8.5 with the Irish this week.
Going to weave in some player props throughout the podcast here, and I'll start with rushing since you brought it up, Wes. So Riley Leonard has eclipsed 14 rushing attempts one time this year. Now, coincidentally enough, it came against Penn State in the most recent game. It's 14.5 at FanDuel, minus 22 to the over here on this one. Remember, sacks do count as rush attempts, so everything that he ends up with is a rush attempt. It's crazy to think that only one time this year he's eclipsed this number, Wes. That all being said, it does feel like it starts and ends with Riley Leonard, barring an injury. So if you looked at this prop right now, 14.5 from a rushing standpoint, by the way, his rushing yards, 36.5 for Riley Leonard. How would you look at the rushing attempts and rushing yards for Riley Leonard?
Nothing that I bet, but a small lean to the over on the attempts because Riley Leonard, look, they just don't take a lot of deep shots. And part and parcel, they don't have, like, that game-breaker receiver. They have a lot of good possession receivers on this Irish roster. But they don't really take a lot of shots down the field. The guy that was actually the best passer in the Orange Bowl was Steve Angeli when he threw seven straight passes. So, you know, I was actually speaking about that with Mike Palm, of course, here at Circa. And he was saying, you know what, they might have a package for him. They might have some kind of package for him, you know, in this game. And, you know, at the risk of sounding like Dan Fouts, last game of the season, Brent can't turn back now. And I think that they're going to have that. They're going to have some – because Steve Angeli, I think, look, he can throw it down the field. Even though they've brought in two guys in a row to play over him, they brought in Sam Hartman, and they bring in Riley Leonard. So he's got the guy that's never been good enough, right? And then when he got put in, he showed up and showed out when Notre Dame needed it in the Orange Bowl. So I think, you know, Riley Leonard to me is kind of like a phone booth passer. He works the middle. He works the sidelines, a lot of intermediate routes, but, you know, doesn't really take those deep balls down the field.
But he did take some deep shots against Penn State. He hit some vertical passes, and, you know, we were skeptical about his ability to do that because in the Georgia game it was all short stuff and it was, what, 90 yards passing. 15 completions for 223 yards Riley Leonard had against Penn State, so he was actually going downfield a little bit more. I thought Steve Angeli really sparked the Irish when he came in after Leonard's injury, and that was kind of the beginning of the comeback for Notre Dame in that game.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Now, critical point of that drive that Steve Angeli led was a fumble that probably should have been recovered by Abdul Carter, but because of his bum shoulder, the Notre Dame offensive lineman pounced on him, ripped the ball away, kept the drive alive, and who knows how the game plays out if Abdul Carter is able to secure that fumble.
I do want to say one thing. I talked about this, and I agree with Wes. I lean slightly over on Riley Leonard's rush attempts at 14.5. I talked about this a couple days ago. You can look at the season-long numbers and say, well, he hasn't run the ball more than 14 times. So he hasn't had to.
Mm-hmm.
He had to against Penn State.
Also, 18 times in the Penn State game.
Also, if he gets sacked, those count as rush attempts.
Yep.
But I think, you know, Notre Dame won so many games in a row. Most of them were blowouts. Leonard did not have to run the ball that many times. I think he's going to have to run the ball around 15 times or more for Notre Dame to have a shot to win this game.
I'm a little surprised just as we have the running back props for those of you watching with us. Jadarian Price, Notre Dame's backup running back. You've seen some money come in on the over. It was 23.5. It's now 25.5. I like the under a little bit here for Jadarian Price. Now, you're curious about the health of Jeremiah Love. He was utilized much more than I anticipated in the Orange Bowl. Still went under his initial number. You saw a big crash in that number. I think closed in the 30s. He went for about 45 yards in that Orange Bowl, guys. But Jadarian Price was held, I believe, to just 12 yards rushing, and he did not hit the holes. He was not very explosive. And I do wonder, Wes, if the emergence of Aeneas Williams, who was the running back who made the big catch out of the backfield, the true freshman there, I wonder if you see a little bit less of Jadarian Price and more of Aeneas Williams here in this spot, which would potentially lead to an under 25.5 rushing yards for Jadarian Price.
I think that that very well could happen, but I think you're going to see Williams used a little bit more in the passing game.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's the more dynamic guy, I think, in space of any of the three running backs. So what was the receiving, I believe? I know we're skipping ahead a little bit, about 24.5, 25.5.
Yep,
and
got bumped up a little bit here.
That could be an overlook here, I think, because I do think that they're going to try to establish Love and Price, but it's going to be Leonard. Eventually, I think that there's going to be a switch there where it's like, okay, we got to run with the quarterback and then just try to get our guys in space the best we can.
Yeah, Aeneas Williams now up to 26.5. I'm using FanDuel. As always, look around. You'll get more and more prop offerings, certainly, as the week goes on. All right, guys, when we look at this game from Ohio State offense versus Notre Dame defense, Matt, I'll start with you first. What is the path to success for Ohio State's offense against this Notre Dame defense, which is one of the best defenses in the country?
Notre Dame's defense plays mostly man coverage in the secondary. Will Howard's best numbers this season are against man coverage, and I think maybe that could be a problem. So if you're Al Golden, the Notre Dame DC. Tim, do you change your identity? Do you change what you've done the entire season to tailor how you want to defend this opponent, or do you just stick with what you've with what got you here? Because I think Ohio State's really tough to defend in man coverage. It's tough to contain those playmakers out there one on one when you're talking about Amika Ibuka, obviously
Jeremiah Smith.
Quinshon Judkins, Travion Henderson. You got so many weapons.
Carnell Tate had a big game against Texas.
Tate's a capable receiver, too. It's tough to, I think, defend Ohio State man coverage. So Will Howard could put up some numbers in this game. You know, we're talking about the number one and number two scoring defenses in college football. Ohio State number one at a 12.2, Notre Dame number two at 14.3. But I think the Irish are going to have a tough time here really containing Ohio State, if they're going to be stubborn and play man coverage the whole time. As you know, Tim, Irish have had a lot of defensive injuries over the course of the season, and they've lost some of their better guys on the defensive side of the football. So I'm not necessarily going to say Notre Dame's going to lock down this Ohio State offense. I don't think that's going to be the case. At the same time, Chip Kelly can't be brain dead in the way he calls plays. You can't say, we're going to be more physical. We're going to be Ohio tough. We're going to run the ball between the guards and tackles, because that's what got Ohio State beat in the Michigan game. And if you play that way against Notre Dame, you could get beat too. I think you got to put the ball out in the perimeter to your playmakers, spread it around, spread the defense out, and that's how you best attack the Notre Dame defense.
Texas did a really nice job of taking away Jeremiah Smith.
But they played a lot of zone coverage.
They did, too. Yeah. Exactly. So that's why I think that you're going to see Chip Kelly kind of try to force feed Smith a little bit. What do you have, one catch, 3 yards on three targets? So
Crazy. They're
going to establish him early and often. I wouldn't be shocked if we had, you know, a couple end rounds with Jeremiah Smith. And, you know, I know they like to use Henderson in that, especially that screen pass after the first at the end of the first half. But they're going to try to force feed the receivers here. And I want to see what adjustments Al Golden is going to make.
So Bruce Feldman has an article, and by the way, a little plug here, Bruce Feldman will be with Matt and myself on VSiN primetime tonight at 7:30 Eastern. But he had a really interesting article talking to opposing coaches this year, and he talked to a defensive coordinator that faced Ohio State, and he said, quote, I'm very interested in seeing how they try to defend Ohio State. Jeremiah Smith is such a problem. We kept him in check. We had a good plan to bracket him and leverage him and at least not letting him be the reason why you lose the game. But Notre Dame plays a lot of man and a lot of robber concept. The other issue with playing Ohio State is the backs are the problem. The receivers are what they are, but you focus too much on the receivers and those backs will gash you, and their O-line is just good enough. So, yeah, we'll see what they ultimately do, because Notre Dame, as you pointed out, it's a great on great strength here, but it does feel like an Oregon tried to say, we're going to play man to you. What happened in the Rose Bowl?
But if you're
Al Golden, Wes, you know, and I heard Greg McElroy, I think, talking about this earlier this week, guys, it's Al Golden walks into that room. Hey, guys, we're the best secondary in the country. Playing man-to-man, we're going zone. You know, what does that do to the confidence for that secondary?
Yeah, look, it is a damned if you do, damned if you don't, because Notre Dame obviously was very lucky or fortunate in terms of the matchup to get a Penn State receiving unit that really doesn't make any big plays.
They had as many catches as the three of us in the Orange Bowl.
0.0, the Blatarski, is what Penn State's receiving corps had against Notre Dame. But, you know, I want to see if Al Golden's a little bit of a risk taker, too. How often he blitzes Will Howard. Because you get Will Howard, the one thing about him, as good as he's been this year, you get him, like, even slightly behind the chains. You get him in a 3rd and 6. You get him in a 3rd and 7. All of a sudden, you put some pressure on him, and he'll make mistakes, and he'll turn over the ball to you if you give him a chance.
Well, I'll say this, guys. The one prop that I was curious about was Emeka Egbuka here. His over-under has continued to rise. It's up to 57.5 at FanDuel. Looking back at last year, Notre Dame against Ohio State at Notre Dame Stadium. And in that game, Marvin Harrison Jr. had, I believe it was, 3 catches for 32 yards. Emeka Egbuka, 7 for 96. These two teams played in the season opener, and that's the game in 2022 when Jackson Smith Igbuka got hurt. Emeka Egbuka, 9 catches, 90 yards. And if Igbuka's going up against Christian Gray, who made the big time interception at the end of the Penn State game, but Matt, you and I were at that USC game. Who did USC pick on? Number 29, Christian Gray.
Sure.
Leonard Moore has been the better cover corner stepping in for Benjamin Morrison, but it feels like Emeka Egbuka could be the guy that could have a big game here against the Irish if they go man-to-man.
I think you're right about that. What are the receiving numbers on Egbuka?
57.5 for receiving yards. So we've seen an uptick there in the graphic that we have. And the juice on receptions has risen from minus 146 over 4.5 to now minus 168. So pretty juicy price there on Emeka Egbuka there for Ohio State.
One of the things, too, if you're shopping globally, around the country and have different books, if you have the FanDuels and the Caesars and the MGM, I'm probably giving away a trade secret here. MGM's a little slower to move on these props.
Yep.
If you have multiple stores and DK as well, like FanDuel and Caesars tend to move a little bit faster on action. So, like you were saying earlier, Tim, definitely shop around because it will make the difference.
Tim, at DraftKings, Emeka Egbuka plus 280 to have the most receiving yards in the game.
If you want to take
a look at that as well. You got to think Notre Dame is going to make a big effort to contain Jeremiah Smith. You're not going to shut him out. You're not going to shut him down, even though Texas did. That's not going to happen in this game.
No, there's no way. I mean, he went off against Tennessee, went off against Oregon, and you would imagine you shade Xavier Watts over a little bit on that side there. Does it open up, once again, Emeka Egbuka, Carnell Tate? What about the running backs? Let's look at the two running backs here for Ohio State, guys, because in the game against Texas, they really kind of went away from running. Neither eclipsed 50 yards, Travion Henderson or Quinshon Judkins in that game. Both are sitting at 57.5 for their rushing prop in this one. They had a combined 15 carries in the game against Texas. That being said, a one-play, 75-yard explosion at the end of the first half. Still don't understand how Texas allowed that to happen in a 7-7 game. But, Matt, what do you expect from Henderson and Judkins against a defensive line that is down Riley Mills? Howard Cross is not 100% there in the interior. Lost a couple of edge guys. Really good linebackers, though, for Notre Dame there in that unit.
Not a lot. I don't think Chip Kelly can be stubborn and try to run the ball too much. And, we could talk about the injuries and how the Notre Dame defense is not as strong as it was, not at full strength. But, Tim, the Notre Dame defensive front is still playing really well.
Yep.
Even with the backups who have stepped in, guys who have stepped in over the course of the season, the front seven, they've been sturdy against the run. I don't think Chip is going to be that stubborn calling all those running plays like he did against Michigan. I think you got to use the pass to set up the run if you're Ohio State. That'd be a much more effective way to do it. And plus, don't forget, this Ohio State offensive line is not great. So I don't expect big rushing numbers. I think if anything here, you're going to see Will Howard put up bigger numbers than expected, and some of the receivers and even running backs put up bigger numbers in terms of receiving yards.
Boy, doesn't it seem like the Henderson prop in terms of receiving is a little bit taxed based on the fact that you saw that 75-yard? Yeah. Even though Henderson, if you look for the season, he's a little bit of the better pass catcher than Judkins. 27 for 284. Judkins just 20 catches for 140. So that's why you see Judkins at 7.5. But even 20.5, man, boy, that seems like low-hanging fruit to take the over on terms of the receiving yards based on what we saw last. So that'd be an under for me or nothing.
What do you make of Will Howard's rushing abilities in this game? We saw him break one until the turf monster got him against Texas, so that was a long of 18. However, Texas was able to get to him a bunch, and when you're betting rushing props in college as quarterbacks, sacks, as we talked about, count as attempts, but they also count as negative yardage. So at the end of the day, Will Howard only had 4 rushing yards against Texas, and you look kind of up and down the card, hasn't really gone nuts this year, but in some of the closer games, Iowa, they were only up 7-0 at halftime. He was able to run for 28 yards in that game. Penn State, 24 yards, a long of 11. Over-unders come down from 11.5 to 9.5, Wes. Do you think, kind of like in primetime games, we like to play rushing props or like a Patrick Mahomes, do you think we see maybe Will Howard keep it a little bit more on a read option to Judkins or Henderson if there is a hole to be had there for him?
Well, I'd be more interested in terms of the carries here because I do think that, you know, you're going to see him get sacked a couple of times, and I think Notre Dame is going to be able to get some pressure up front, despite the fact that they don't have Riley Mills on that defensive line. You're going to see them try to do something and get pressure off that edge. So I think Will Howard is going to have to eat the football at least a couple of times. So I'd be a little more interested in the rushing attempts maybe than the yards.
I agree with that. Said the same thing on the show last night.
Yeah.
And I got one more very important point to make here, Tim. I've been waiting for a commercial break here for about 5 minutes. Are we not doing commercials?
You want a commercial break?
Yeah, I want to get up and stretch out and walk around. Are we not doing commercials?
Well, we were just going to let it roll here.
Okay.
Let's do this. Let's take a quick break. Matt needs to stretch the legs here at the D. Appreciate you joining us here on VSiN Live as well as YouTube.com/VSiN Live. Quick commercial break. More on the national championship. Ohio State, Notre Dame, Monday night. He's already stretching it out, folks.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
We're back. Matt Eumanns has stretched it out. He's massaged the knee. He's ready to roll as we put a bow on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Going to have another podcast for you. We're going to go on the beat. We're going to talk to a Notre Dame beat reporter, Ohio State beat reporter. Hopefully have that in your feed on Friday. Please rate, review, and subscribe. We're here live at the D. Matt Eumanns, Wes Reynolds, Tim Murray with you. All right, Wes, let's dive into a little bit of the numbers before we start to jump into some best bets that we have already in pocket or some that we're looking to bet. Third downs. How important is it for Notre Dame to keep the chains shorter to play ahead of schedule? And I guess the same goes for Ohio State. So what have you unearthed from a third down standpoint?
Well, I think Notre Dame, based on the last game's result, has clearly the advantage. 11 of 17 on third down against Penn State. And then they also only allowed Penn State 3 for 11. So, you know, you're getting the better of it the majority of the time. I think like 22 of the 28 times you got the better of it. Ohio State, their third down number's a little bit pedestrian. 3 of 10 against Texas, only held them to 5 of 15. Only 4 of 11 against Oregon. It's tough to take those numbers, though, into consideration because that was such a blowout and Oregon was behind the chains. Oregon ended up 8 of 19, but you know, that's where I think maybe Notre Dame can hang in because they grind out those tough yards and they're able to keep drives going. And, you know, if I think a slower pace game certainly favors the Irish rather than, you know, going tempo and getting down the field. So was very impressed with what they did against Penn State because that is a very good Penn State defense. And really they did it mostly in the second half.
Yeah.
It seemed like they converted every single one in the second half with how they were able to run the football. Penn State a little slow to adjust.
I think the Irish are a little bit tougher up front, offensive line, defensive line, and like Wes said, I like their ability to grind it out. And, Tim, I know Ryan Day thinks the Buckeyes are Ohio tough. Where's Lou Holtz?
But Lou Holtz is tweeting, apparently.
Lou Holtz is predicting a Notre Dame victory by three. I know, it's stunning.
Well, this the Ohio State's got the best punt team in the country. Isn't that what Lou always finds something? He used to do that as a coach. He used to always find something that the opponent did well, even if they were like 52-point favorites against somebody. But yet he doesn't have a lot of pleasant things to say about the guys from Columbus.
So I think the Irish have an ability to drag Ohio State into the mud and make the Buckeyes play their style of game, and that's how they're going to stay in it. Like you can't play it the way Oregon played it against Ohio State and survive.
Yeah.
But Notre Dame has ripped off a bunch of wins in a row, and they've done it for a reason, Tim. And this team, I think, is going to come in with a lot of confidence. They're going to play styles, make fights, as the cliche says. I think Notre Dame's got to make Ohio State play their style of fight. And if that happens, I think the Irish are live to win the game again. 8.5 to me is a big number here. I've had Notre Dame power rated higher than Texas for a long time. Longhorns hung around that game and had every shot there at the end. And I think that exposed the Buckeyes a little bit. And you break down that tape. A very sharp Notre Dame coaching staff, by the way.
Yep.
Love these coaches. Talking about Mike Denbrock, Al Golden, and Marcus Freeman. I think they're going to find ways to keep the Irish in this game and have a shot to win it in the fourth quarter. I'll tell you, there was one point against Penn State. We were on the air, and I said, I don't know how Notre Dame's going to win this game. Because right now, everything, it looked like Penn State was running downhill, and everything was going the Nittany Lions' way. And Notre Dame found a way to turn the tide and turn the game in the fourth quarter. And that's what the Irish, I think, can do to Ohio State, too. That's why I know we're not at the best bet segment yet, but this is why I believe the Irish can hang in this game, Tim. And I think they're going to have a shot to win in the fourth quarter.
7.5 was the in-game number at halftime when Penn State had that 10-3 lead. Notre Dame came out and was able to score on their opening drive. That middle eight has been something that Notre Dame has prided themselves on. I believe, Matt West, you have the number handy for how Notre Dame has fared in the middle eight so far this year?
Yeah, just taking the game against Penn State and the game against Georgia, not including the Indiana game, which was well in hand in the first half. But plus 27 in terms of the point margin for Notre Dame in the middle eight when you look at the Sugar Bowl and the Orange Bowl. The other 52 minutes, minus 11 in terms of the margin. So, yeah, look, that's very important. And that's what turned the tide of the game. And I think you probably being in the stands, Tim, could sense it when they went right out and just smashed them.
Yeah.
They went right out and smashed a very good Penn State defense, drove right down the field, and you're like, okay, now it's game on. And now, and then, of course, the Georgia game, they had the kick return.
Kick return, yeah. They had the big fumble at the end of the first half there. Throughout the season, Notre Dame has outscored opponents in the middle eight, last four, first four, last four of the first half, first four of the second half, 148-17. Ohio State has done pretty well, too. Not as well, 80-42. So that middle eight, always important, and Marcus Freeman has talked about it. All right, the pathway, Wes, in your opinion, to an Ohio State cover is what?
Tempo, tempo, tempo. Go quick, I think, with this. Get Notre Dame kind of all out of sorts here. Get the ball in space, quick throws to the perimeter, and try to test them that way instead of necessarily over the middle. So, yeah, get Smith involved. Get Igbuka involved. Use Henderson in the passing game especially. And just go quickly on these guys, because that's the thing about it. Ohio State is such a quick strike team where they can get a three-play, 75-yard drive because a busted play like we saw against Texas. It was one play with Henderson on that screen pass. So, yeah, I think you got to go tempo here and try to catch Notre Dame making substitutions, try to catch them, you know, a little bit confused in what coverage and how they want to attack this defense and make it quicker. And whereas Notre Dame, I think you want to slow it down a little bit. You want to run that old Mike Bray burn offense like he used to do up there in South Bend with basketball to keep that offense off the field for the Buckeyes.
Yeah, I mean, if this is a game of Family Feud, Wes Reynolds just had the number one answer on the board. It is.
Good answer. Yes. Good answer. Good answer.
Thank you. The survey says.
That was a great answer. That was number one. You know, I'm thinking the same thing, that Ohio State here has got to speed up the tempo of the game. You don't huddle up and burn the play clock and run it between the tackles. You got to run a faster pace offense, get the ball out in the perimeter to your playmakers, like I keep saying, and make the Notre Dame defense play faster. And I think that would be the key to Ohio State hitting for some big plays. And Notre Dame's not a team that wants to come from behind. If the Irish fall behind by 14, Tim, you're going to be a basket case Monday night in the studio because that's going to be bad news for the Fighting Irish if they fall behind two touchdowns. But I think Ohio State's got to speed up the tempo, speed up the game in general, and try to force the Fighting Irish to play fast.
Now, you know it won't take 14, though. It'll be 3-0. It'll be, damn it. Here we go again.
I'm trying to be calm this year. You know, Matt keeps trying to look at my Twitter feed. How was I reacting to the Georgia game? No tweets.
No tweets.
The only tweet I put out there during the Penn State game was an homage to the edge rusher for Penn State who was doing the DX crotch chop at midfield. Mm-hmm. I was just curious if the ESPN broadcast put it on there. I think McAfee put it on there, though.
I think I had maybe two pictures during the Indiana-Notre Dame game. Now I was like, okay, I'm not in the mood now.
Yeah.
I'm out of the mood.
Let's look at totals real quickly before we get the best bets. We've seen the team total for Notre Dame come down a little bit. Westgate was hanging out at 19.5. That's now down to 17.5. You're kind of in that 17.5, 18.5, which is kind of no man's land type of territory. Here, Wes, I'll start with you. Team total, Brad Powers, shockingly, a little pessimistic last night, had his team total under Notre Dame as his best bet. But I understand the play because Notre Dame has struggled offensively so far in the college football playoff, even though the second half against Penn State was very impressive. Do you envision Notre Dame eclipsing 17.5 points on Monday night?
Yeah, look, I could see it because I actually do like the over in the game.
Oh, okay.
I could certainly see it. Maybe it's going to come later. But Notre Dame, as we mentioned, the special teams very good. The special teams they've been the better on special teams against everybody they played now with Ohio State. That's going to be a challenge because this is an elite special teams unit that can get big plays in the return game. Caleb Downs, of course, a couple returns this year, including against Indiana. So, I think that, you know, that this may start out a little bit slow. Like the first drive or two, you always see them kind of feel each other out a little bit, you know, like the first couple rounds in a boxing match or in a MMA fight, and then all of a sudden you get it going, and that's what I think is probably going to happen on this total.
You know, it's funny, I'm going back to that Bruce Feldman article, his opening paragraph from a opposing coach that faced Notre Dame during the playoff regarding the special teams. He said their special teams is off the chain. That guy, Marty Biaggi, the special teams coordinator, is great. He tries to block almost every single punt. He just does all the stuff that you hate. So I think the pathway to success for the Irish is similar to what we saw against Georgia. Utilize the special teams, get a big special teams play. It wasn't just the kickoff return. It was that fake punt, run that special teams team off, bring on the offense, get the offsides, and then it was forcing the fumble. So it does feel like, Matt, Notre Dame's pathway to success is winning the turnover margin, which I believe they forced 32 turnovers this year, and they need a big play on special teams.
You are right about that, by the way. Notre Dame's forced 32 turnovers. That's
number one.
Number one in the nation. And like I said, scoring defense is number two of 14.3 behind Ohio State. But, yeah, 32 turnovers. You know, talk about the little things. How about Notre Dame's game-winning field goal against Penn State? When you looked at the – I don't know if you saw the screen. No, I'm talking about the screenshot. Penn State had two players deep at the 10-yard line. Wes, you want to explain that? Irish not going to run a fake. Why don't you have all 11 guys trying to block the kick?
I don't have an explanation for that, Matt. I'm guessing what Tim brought up, though, about they try to block every punt. I'm guessing that anonymous coach was not Kurt Cignetti because he had no fear punting in the fourth quarter down 20-3. He had no fear of a block punt.
It was the only way to get back in the game, apparently, was to punt in Notre Dame territory. All right, let's get to some best bets. Matt, we'll start with you. You've hinted at it. So what do you have in pocket, and what might you be adding to your portfolio? We do know on this podcast you put in a future on Notre Dame prior to the college football playoff.
I did. I bet Notre Dame at 10-1. And then I found a better number and bet it again at 12-1. So I've got two futures on the Fighting Irish to win the playoffs. So I also bet Notre Dame plus 8.5 early this week. And, you know, try not to worry too much about the futures bet you got in your pocket. You talked about playing with house money, Tim, at this point, right? When you get to the championship game and you got 10-1 and 12-1. I still feel like the Fighting Irish are going to be in this game deep into the fourth quarter with a shot to win it. So took 8.5. Now, someone asked me today, would you play a teaser? Would you tease any of the NFL playoff games? You know, because I did play a Chiefs-Lions teaser this week. Teases the Chiefs down to 2 and the Lions down to 2.5. And someone said, would you throw Ohio State on there, you know, and tease that down to 2? And I can't do that, because what if Ohio State wins by 1? You know, and you tease it down to 2, then you're losing your Notre Dame futures. And, you know, and don't say it won't happen, because as soon as as soon as you leave one out, it's going to be one number. It's going to land on that number, so I'm not going to do that. I'm going to look to live bet Ohio State on the money line probably at some point, or live bet this game, Tim, when we're on the air Monday night. I am not going to make any sort of hedge before the game kicks off. I don't plan on it. This money line on Ohio State's a little too high anyway. You know, I bet the Buckeyes on the money line against Texas at minus 220 and minus 230. Right now it's minus 360 or 380 in that neighborhood, so that's too high a price. So I'll wait until game time or, like I said, in-game betting to play Ohio State in the money line to kind of hedge those Notre Dame futures and look for an opportunity there in the Notre Dame plus 8.5. Other than that, I see one prop on DraftKings I do like. It's first drive of the game. How about Notre Dame first drive result punt at minus 140? Wes is talking about how these teams are probably going to start out, you know, a little slow-paced offensively, and kind of it's a feel-out phase, kind of like the first round of a boxing match. Ohio State actually on the first drive at DraftKings, the punt is plus 105. You know, more likely that Notre Dame's going to punt on its first drive. But I do like that. That's one prop I plan to play. Look around, see if I can find a slightly better price. But put me down for Notre Dame's first drive result, punt minus 140.
What book was that?
And that's the DraftKings I'm looking at right now.
Yeah, FanDuel was minus 145, so always look around, save a couple pennies. All right, so first drive punt for Notre Dame, plus the points for the Irish. You mentioned the total. We haven't really talked about the total. First half total, 23, was as high as 23.5, juiced under at DraftKings. It looks like 23s now across the board for the first half. Total, 46.5. What is making you inch toward maybe looking at the over here in Notre Dame, Ohio State?
Well, because I think Ohio State's going to get some plays in the passing game, because I don't think Al Golden's all of a sudden, you know, all of a sudden going to go total zone here. He's, you know, you got to play with what got you here. You can't switch that. You got to have confidence in your secondary. I think that was a very good point by you earlier in the pod, Tim. So you got to be able to do that. Well, you're playing against the best receiving corps in the country, arguably. This is a massive step up from what they saw against Penn State, where it's kind of like, okay, we got to take away Tyler Warren over the middle, and if we do that, we're going to be just fine defensively. So that's why I think Ohio State is going to get theirs, but I think Notre Dame can get some too, as long as, you know, they keep moving the ball and you know, Riley Leonard, I think, runs the ball, and also using in the passing game. That's why I think using those running backs, especially in the passing game, especially Aeneas Williams, and that's why I like that one prop over about 25.5, I think, is the market average. I'm going to try to
26.5 now at FanDuel. Okay. You've seen some money come in, certainly, on that prop. And it's worth noting, right, the biggest plays that Texas had, passing the ball to the running back. So, you know, is it as simple as Jim Knowles is going to leave Aeneas Williams open? No, but I think as you've seen Notre Dame and the success they've had through the air, it's some of those quick strikes. It's get the ball to Aeneas Williams out of the backfield. I think Mitchell Evans, the tight end, we saw him get involved quite a bit in the game against Penn State. I think he could get involved again. We talked about that, Matt. I thought he would be involved quite a bit against Indiana. Not the case. It was Penn State that he ended up stepping in for. So certainly something to look at there. So looking over, anything from the side here in it?
Nothing yet for me. I think now it's kind of stabilized, even though my raw number would make it 7.5, and unfortunately missed that 10 that wasn't available. It was available for about 20 minutes, I think, as Matt pointed out earlier, and I was asleep at the wheel, so probably a little too late. I think that this is about right, but like we talked about on the pod last week, Tim, Ohio State's best is better than anybody's best in the country. So it's like if they play close to their best game, they're going to win. And they're maybe by some margin. But, you know, you never know when you get in this type of situation. I didn't think they were their best against Texas. I thought Texas had so many opportunities they stayed in the game, but to actually, you know, tie the game at the end and potentially win it in extra time. But didn't happen for them. And Ohio State, look, like I mentioned, Notre Dame, and I even mentioned it when Sark called that play, you cannot run to the perimeter on this fast defense. This is not the normal big boy, physical, tough, which they are, defense, this is a defense with speed, because all we've ever heard about is, oh, it's not SEC speed. Well, with Ohio State, it's SEC speed, absolutely, especially in that front seven. So, yeah, I think they're just so fast. You got to catch them off guard. You got to have some quick hitters here against them.
All right, a couple best bets for me. I was surprised to see that Will Hill Caesars had posted a number on Bo Collins, the Notre Dame wide receiver. Only played one drive against Penn State. He's dealing with a calf injury. Now, worth noting, if you don't play, then it's a voided bet. But over under 15.5 receiving yards, I played that under. We've seen the juice move a little bit. A couple of the ones I'm going to keep an eye on here. Jadarian Price under his rushing yardage. Aeneas Williams over his rushing yardage. Both Notre Dame running backs. I think there's a little bit of a shift there from production of those two running backs. And not opposed to the Riley Leonard over 14.5 rushing attempts. I think Mitchell Evans could see catches come his way. 3.5 is his over-under for receptions. And then Will Howard, it does make me a little bit worried that sacks go against your rushing yards, but that number's dipped down to 9.5, and I'm kind of interested for Will Howard from a rushing standpoint. We've got the side-by-side comparisons of some of their props here. Do you anticipate an interception from either one of these quarterbacks? The yes for Riley Leonard was -$1.66. Will Howard -$1.36.
I do, but I don't want to lay those prices.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if we see a pick from both quarterbacks in this game, but I'm not going to lay $1.35 or $1.65 on that to happen.
Jeremiah Smith, by the way, in the anytime touchdown market, -$1.35. Quinshon Judkins, -$1.05. If you think Riley Leonard gets into the end zone, +$1.45. And Jeremiah Love at +$1.35. Those numbers courtesy of FanDuel. All right, fellas, before we get out of here, parting words, final thoughts on the national championship Monday down in Atlanta. Matt, I'll start with you.
Well, you know, we've seen a lot of blowouts in the college football playoff. To me, this whole playoff has not been disappointing. I know a lot of people wanted more close games, more instant classics, but I think the playoff's been great. I like the fact they had a couple Cinderella teams in the bracket, Indiana, SMU types. I think you always need to have that. But when you get down to it, you got four powerhouse teams at the end, and I love this matchup. Ohio State, Big Ten trying to go back-to-back, or Notre Dame trying to win the first one since 1988 and trying to win one without Brian Kelly, who left town and went to LSU because he didn't think you could win a national championship at Notre Dame. I don't know. I do like this matchup, and I think we're going to get a I'm not going to say a classic, but I do think we're going to have a tight game. We're going to have a close game, a tight game into the fourth quarter on Monday night, and I'm looking forward to it. That's why I've got Notre Dame plus the points, and I think the Fighting Irish are going to be live on Monday night. I'll say Ohio State wins the game 24-20. I know Wes thinks the score is going to be slightly higher.
Yeah, I do. And look, in terms of just as a fan and as a spectator, I want Notre Dame to win. I really
yeah,
do.
Wes.
I think it's been a long time. And look, I've got a lot of wounds as an Indiana guy against Ohio State, having not beaten them since 87. But look, I do think Ohio State's gonna win the game. I'm not willing to lay the number, but I, you know, this is just like the redemption story from Ryan Day, because that was the big story, I think, overall in a macro sense going into the playoffs, is that, oh my God, he's gonna be out here. He just lost to Michigan again, so he's fighting for his life and fighting for his job here in Columbus. Get Urban back, or bring somebody new in, or bring Mike Vrabel or another former Buckeye in. It's going to be Ryan Day as the coach there for a long time, I think, in Columbus, and he is going to win the national championship on Monday night.
Yeah, it's going to be a challenge for the Irish. I think they're playing with house money here. I will. I don't know if I should predict a win for Notre Dame or not, because I predicted a loss, Matt, against Georgia, and that worked out well. So maybe I need to keep the negativity going. But, you know, for the Irish, I think it's going to be a challenge to score. I think they need some breaks to go their way. I'm not going to say they need to play perfect, guys, but they need a special teams play.
They need some turnovers, too. They have to win the turnover battle, because that's what they've been doing essentially all season. I think since the Northern Illinois game, since that loss in South Bend, I think, what are they, like 11-0-2 in the turnover battle. A couple of games they push, but they've never lost the turnover battle and haven't done so far in the playoffs.
Yeah, so I think that's going to have to go their way. And let's be honest, you know, offensive line, Charles Jagasaw is the left tackle now. He steps in for Anthony Knapp, who stepped in for him in the preseason. So a lot of unique storylines. Obviously, Marcus Freeman, the former Buckeye, going up against his alma mater for a third straight year. Marcus Freeman as a dog, guys. 5-1-1 ATS since getting to Notre Dame. The only non-cover against Caleb Williams and USC in 2022. 1-0-1 ATS against Ohio State. Notre Dame has covered 11 straight games this year. They are the best cover team in college football at 12-2 against the spread. The only two non-covers, two MAC teams, Northern Illinois and Miami of Ohio. But Ohio State's looked the part. They've won by a combined 59 points in the college football playoff. So going to be a hell of a game. Stay tuned to VSiN.com/picks as well for all of our best bets. Wes Reynolds, Matt Eumanns, all of ours. We're going to have plenty of content as well. Just a reminder, Matt, you and I live on the air Monday night, right?
Monday night, looking live at Tim Murray. As he roots on the Fighting Irish.
As the perspiration drips down.
It's going to be worth your time. Tune in Monday night.
7 p.m. We'll be back on SiriusXM as well. For my partners in crime, Matt Eumanns and Wes Reynolds, I'm Tim Murray. Thanks to Wyatt. Thanks to Ryan. Thanks to all the production team. This has been the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Another podcast in your feed tomorrow as we go on the beat. It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast.